Well, let's dive right on in to the last book and go eat popcorn, the book of Colossians, that was written by the Apostle Paul, St. Paul, to a church that was in modern day southern Turkey. And so he's writing to this church, and though he's never been there, he has a relationship with them through a friend that he knows well that was there for quite some time. And he's heard from his friend who's come to visit him, and he's heard all about this church, and so he's writing them a letter. And it's a really cool letter. It's scripture, but it's an encouraging one. And so here's like the big takeaways. Like, what are my big takeaways from Colossians? So here it is that Jesus is our source. Jesus is our source of life. Like, the second thing we'll look at is that we're called to follow him, like the simplicity of just following Jesus. And then the last thing that we'll look at is like, we need to make the most of the opportunities that come our way. So let's dive right in. Chapter 1, Paul writes this, and he says, "We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people." Whoa, that's high praise. Like, there have been times in my life where people have given me a compliment, and everybody loves a compliment, but there's been a couple times where people have said, "You know what? I know you really trust God, and I can see it all over you. And, you know, I know that you really love people. That really shines through, and I can't tell you how encouraging that is." And so if nobody's ever done that for you, man, I hope that they do, and I hope that your faith in Christ grows more and more, and that you are able to love people more and more. Let me just say this. Both of those things are going to be tested, but we need to follow through. And because we know that our faith is going to be tested and our love for people is going to be tested, we need people like Paul in our lives praying for us. Look at what he says in verse 9. He says, "We have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you." That's encouraging too, but we also need those people in our life. "We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way that you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit." Then the way that you live will honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. So the first thing I want you to get is this. You can't do that in your own strength. You can't. How are you and who you are going to always honor and please the Lord, and your life will produce every kind of good fruit? Hey, I'm going to go back to the very first thing that I got out of Colossians. Jesus is our source. So as we read the sentence just before it, it says, we're asking, Paul's praying, that I'm asking God to give you knowledge of his will. Like, I can't tell you God's will for your life. Now, I can point out scripture where Jesus has spoken and how we're called to live, but now we're talking about like a specific will, like, should I take this job? Should I marry this person? Like, I can't tell you that, but guess what? Jesus is our source, and it says that we ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will. He'll speak to you. He's the source. Listen, the Bible is divinely inspired. So I can go, well, look what Jesus said. But again, that's not even me. I can look, well, this is what the scripture says, but that's God speaking. Jesus is the source for us to be able to understand his will. And to give you, I'm praying that not just knowledge of his will, but to give you wisdom, spiritual wisdom, and understanding. Jesus is our source. Do you get that? Do you see that? Like, we all want to live. Then it goes, then you'll live. The way that you live will honor and please the Lord. So many people spend their life trying to do it themselves. Like, I've got to honor God. I've got to live to honor him. I've got to. And then every kind of good fruit, that's what you're going to produce. I've got to do good things. In your own strength, you can only do that for a very short period of time. But that rotten dead flesh will come back up. Galatians 2:20, Paul writes, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives through me." He's writing to the church in Colossians saying, I want you to live a life of honor. I want you to produce good things, but it comes from Jesus. He's the source. He goes on to say, he said, "We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have endurance and patience that you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He's enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. That you're strengthened by his power. How are you going to have the strength to live the life that he's called for you, that called you to live? Because it's him that's strengthening you. He's your source. Like, I hope you're saying it with me. Like, Jesus is my source. Like, I can't live this life in my flesh with my will. I need to surrender my will, put my flesh down and say, Jesus, I need you. You strengthen me. You speak to me about your will. You give me your wisdom, your understanding, and he will. It's really cool. Then he goes on to say that you were in his enemies, separated from him. Now we're in verse 21. By your evil thoughts and actions, yet now he's reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. You can't even make yourself right with God. It's Jesus that did it for us because he is our source. You must continue to believe, verse 23, you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away. Drift away from what? The truth that Jesus is the one that makes us right. It's his grace, his forgiveness, his goodness, that our strength comes from him, that our wisdom, like spiritual wisdom, understanding, comprehending his will comes from him. He's actually all of chapter one. I'm skipping verses 15 through verses 19, but I'm just going to read the first one. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. Jesus is our source. Paul writes again, he says, I want you to know, chapter 2, he says, I want you to know that I've agonized for you and your church. And for the many other believers who've never met me personally, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. So I want you to know the plan of God, but it comes from your love from Christ. I want you to love each other and be knit together. Where does that come? From the love of Christ. And when we remember that love is giving up your will, your way. Go read 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 13, the love chapter. Love doesn't seek its own. In fact, love lays down its life. And that's what Paul is writing. He's saying, listen, I'm so encouraged. I've heard about your faith. I've heard that you love Christ with all of your heart and you love people. And I'm praying that you understand God's will for your life and that he gives you wisdom and understanding, but it comes from him. It comes from Jesus. Jesus is the everything. And I pray that Jesus is your everything. He says that in chapter 2. And then in verse 6, he says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. This is the second big thing that spoke to me out of the book of Colossians. The first one, man, Jesus is the source. He's our source of life. He's our source of love. He's our source of righteousness. I can't do it myself. He's our source of understanding the next step. And that, what did Paul say? That mysterious plan, God's will, that comes from our relationship with him. And he said, just as you started in that, just as you accepted that, he says, you must continue to follow him. Man, I've seen so many people, they have a revelation of God's love for them. And they believe wholeheartedly that Jesus died on the cross for their sin. And they come to him, they go, yes, Lord, I'm yours, forgive me. I receive it, cleanse me. And he does. And then they think, well, that's kind of like it. Like, I'm right with God. That's not the ending of everything. Like, it's the end of the old me. Yes, it is, but it's the beginning of the new. But you'll never see truly what God has in store for you. And yes, unless you continue to follow him. And that's what chapter two and three is all about. I'm just going to read some of the things that stuck out with me. It says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. There are a lot of people that love to discuss a lot of non-essential, and I'll be honest, kind of silly things about the Bible. Like, what about this? Like, what do you believe about that? Listen, I know the Bible. I've read it many, many times. I read it through every year. I went to college and to Pasadena, to Fuller Theological. Was in a master's program that I heard everybody talking about everything. And the best thing I got out of that was somebody said this, huh? You're Fuller, huh? That's seminary. That's like cemetery. This is where pastors go to die. That's where faith goes to die. You know, some dorky guy. And it stuck with me that the greatest mind, the greatest human mind, is still not always going to be able to understand every aspect of who God is. So Paul writes and he says, you need to keep following the example of Jesus. Keep following him. Follow Jesus. And then he warns them, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Now, here's the deal. I love to debate. I love to talk with people who think that they have a very high intellect. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But at the end of the day, it's the experience of Christ that matters, that we have experienced his forgiveness, we've experienced his grace, and we follow him and how he lived. It is okay to debate all of that stuff, but at the end of the day, if I'm spending more time running my mouth, trying to understand with my mind what somebody else has said about what they think might be spiritually, wow, maybe I'm missing the truth that Jesus came for the lost, that Jesus came for the broken, that Jesus came for those who were far away to bring them close. He came from those who were wounded, those who were hurt, those who needed healing, and he healed them, and he reached out to them. There is nothing wrong with having an academic or an intellectual grasp and understanding of what God has done. I think it's very important, but what's most important, what is foundational, is that we're living life like Jesus did, and we're following his example. That wasn't in the notes. Well, it's really just because I have a Bible here. I don't have notes. So. Anyway, he says, you were dead because of your sins, because of your sinful nature. It was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, and he forgave all of our sins. He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Never forget that. In 2 Corinthians, I think this is right, it's extemporaneous, so don't. 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says, I think that's it, where Paul says, I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, that your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. And this is what Paul's hammering home. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. He's your source. Follow Jesus. He says this in verse 20, you've died with Christ, and he set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. Then in chapter 3, verse 1, just a few sentences down, he says, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the reality of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. And what does that mean? That means that we're to set our mind on eternity. Now, like, we need to be present where we are in this world, but we also need to recognize that there is an eternal reality that is beyond this existence. And that is why Jesus died. You know, the fact of the matter is that billions of followers of Jesus have died physically. But in that moment of death, there was a transition from this life into the next. And Paul's writing and he's saying, yeah, if you read the scope of Paul's work and really the scope of this book, he's saying, I need you here right now. Remember what Jesus did, but also set your mind on heaven because I need you to recognize that there are a lot of people who are far from God and their eternal reality, God's hope and desire for them is that they choose him. So go and encourage them in that. And I've seen a lot of people that where Paul, and it seems contradictory, doesn't it? Where he says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. But he had just said, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophy, high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking. But many times I've found this, that human thinking gets wrapped up in some sort of weird package that is super extra spiritual and like a whole nother level of faith. And the fact is there's one faith, it's Jesus. And we can grow in that, but there's no levels. It's like, I follow Jesus. Maybe somebody's been following him longer, but I've watched how people somehow end up, it's almost this deception of they end up being so heavenly minded, but from a human perspective, that they're no earthly good. And Paul is encouraging us to remember that Jesus is our source. We follow him, and there is an eternal reality that's to come. It's so good. I love Colossians. He says, so, because there's a so after all of that. He says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. And here's what he follows it up with, and it reinforces this. Put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy. And then he goes on and says some more. He says, you used to do these things. And then he says, get rid of anger. There's some things we need to get rid of. If I'm going to follow Jesus, there's some things that I need to get rid of. Human thinking. That my mind is and my attitude is conformed to that of what Jesus was. That I get rid of all of this impurity, all of the anger. And this is verse 8. Get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other. If you've stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds, if you're going to follow him, there's some things you need to take off. What do you need to take off from your nature, from your heart? What do you need to like rip out? And then he goes on to say this. He says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your creator and become like them. I underlined a portion of that. I'm going to box that whole thing in. Here's why. It is the crux on all of Colossians and truthfully so much of the Bible. Put on your new nature and be renewed. I'm going to encourage you, as you follow Jesus, get rid of those things that are not like him. Put on your new nature. Put on that new nature. Be renewed. Doesn't that sound great? Be renewed. As you learn to know your creator, you can learn more and more about him every day and become like him. Man, that's so good. Golly. Then he goes on to say, God chose you to be the holy people. That means people set apart for him. You must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. He says that in Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians now. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. He's our source. Follow him. And then in chapter 4, he says this as he wraps up the book. He says, desert yourselves. Yeah, I'd like to desert myself right now. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. And he says, pray for us too. Look at this. He's saying, pray for us. And then here's the prayer. That God will give us many opportunities to speak about this mysterious plan concerning Christ. It's the last thing I got. Smack me like a ton of bricks. We are to make the most of every opportunity to tell people about Jesus and what he's done in our life. The reason that people don't share their faith is because they don't have much of it. Well, that's not in the notes either. It's kind of convicting. But the reason that we don't share faith, our faith in Christ, is because so often our faith hasn't been alive enough in us to bring us to the place of transformation. And this is how he ends the book. He has his final greetings, but that's how he ends it. He says, look at verse 5, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so you'll have the right response for everyone. God's called you to recognize Jesus is our source. He's our source. Follow him and make the most of those opportunities. Man, what a great book. What a great four books, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And my prayer is that you make the most of the opportunities that he puts in front of you to speak about the goodness of God because of your faith, because you know he's your source of provision, your source of life, your source of hope, and you're following him, you're walking in faith, and you don't hesitate to embrace those opportunities. And maybe right now, you recognize that God's dealing with you and you have an opportunity to open your heart to him. Maybe you realize that you're your own source, but maybe you're at the place because he's knocking on the door of your heart that he's saying, trust me with your future. Give me your past, stop holding on to that. Give me your right now. And maybe right now you need to surrender your life to Christ. You need to say, Jesus, you're my everything. You're my source. I'm going to follow you. Simple. You just pray a prayer, something like this. Maybe you can pray along. Jesus, I surrender all to you. I turn from my sin, from my failures. I turn even from my successes and good things. I give it all to you, Jesus. My life is yours. I receive your forgiveness. You died on the cross for me. My life is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, if you prayed that, that's awesome. I want to see you grow in your walk with God and know that this is just the beginning as you continue to follow him. And I'm going to say this, you need people. You need people. You need people that can be in your life to encourage you, to stand by you, to help strengthen you. Man, and truthfully, they need you too. So get connected. Let us know what's going on. And I'll be praying for you guys. Love y'all. Hope to see you soon. God bless.